big rocks and all that sort of thing.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
No, you intro this.
I don't like it. I don't want to do it.
Yes, but, you know, you intro it. You could do any intro you like.
Well, it's very limited by the name of the show, isn't it? Which is the Mick Wall Show. No, we talked about renaming the show, didn't we?
We did.
And amazingly enough, you said there has been a lot of research done and that the people liked to call it the Mick Wall Show.
No, what I said was...
Featuring Mick Wall.
What I said was the promoter...
The promoter, that was...
Like to call
who
it
happens to be your friend.
That's right, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I am friends with all the important promoters and they are friends with
exactly.
me.
Exactly.
And my friends, John...
They know...
Occasionally are your friends.
You put that name above the door, it's like magic.
It's like magic.
People flock. They do. They just
up
see the name.
Up to 40 people
they
at
see
a time.
The name Mick Wall and they go... Oh,
it did make me laugh. Did you see outside, they're talking about the West Hampstead Arts Club.
Which is where we did our gig.
And where we're doing our next gig.
Where we're doing our next one as well. Come again if you came the first time. Come for the first time if you didn't come last time.
Yep, just come.
Because there's going to be a very famous...
very special.
Mick Wall, obviously.
Well, very special.
A very special
Very
guest.
Special live show yeah. at the West Hampstead Arts Club.
Yes.
On February the 21st.
Right.
February 21st, 2024, right. In case anybody's crazy.
Yeah.
And we will be on stage a little earlier than last time. And we'll be off stage a lot fucking earlier.
Yes, we will.
Because we rather went on a bit last time, didn't we? Well,
yeah.
You did. You were rather gung-ho. I think you were still high from the first
Yeah, that's
time.
Right. Very high from just being able to sit next to Mick Wall for an hour or so.
Very good. Now, John.
Yeah, so you were going to say who the special guest was. Your mind has wandered off again.
Oh, fucking hell. Okay, So, our second show is at the West Hampstead Arts Club in Mill Lane, West Hampstead, London, on Wednesday, February the 21st. And our special guest...
is none other than the King of Prog. And I do not say that lightly.
No, he is absolutely
the King
of Prog. He is
the reigning king of progressive rock.
He really is. And his name is Stephen Wilson.
He is, as people say, he's the biggest rock star... that people don't think of as a rock star.
Yeah, or...
You know,
or,
I mean, massive show, worldwide tours.
Yeah.
He's in at least five different bands that I can think of.
And one of them,
one of
Porcupine
good.
Tree,
yeah.
Their album went to number one when it came
exactly.
out.
Exactly. In fact, all of them are good. I like all his bands. I'm a particular fan of Porcupine Tree and his solo work.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
In fact, he had a solo album out last year. He also had, before Christmas, a live Porcupine Tree.
Yeah, that was good.
And, most exciting of all, a Christmas song.
That's right, which we spoke about before. We don't need to go back over that.
Oh, we don't need to go back over that?
No, we don't.
Oh,
we talked about that on the last podcast. And readers will be delighted to hear, speaking of the last podcast, that you've now finished your 500 words on
I have.
Ronnie James Dio, haven't you?
And
how
tonight,
did it? How did it end?
You see, John... I could tell you, but really, you're going to have to buy a copy of Classic Rock magazine, you know, to get the great reveal.
Yeah. How long do you reckon it takes to read 500 words? I mean, given how long it's taken you to write.
Well, you see, the thing is...
Do you reckon, what, 4 minutes?
Well, if it was you, I'd say probably 4 minutes.
You know, they do that
but
thing sometimes online. They
my
say
prose.
4 minute read or whatever.
Yeah.
Through it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Be
I
like
hate
that.
It when they do that. I'm into slow reading.
Right. Yeah, well, we noticed
like,
that.
Like
yeah.
No, that's slow writing.
Yeah. No. I mean, with the reading, you try
oh
to read something out, didn't you?
God.
You weren't that good at it.
My kids, they get books and they say to each other, I'm on page 180. Which one are you on?
Yeah.
Or, Dad, I've read 5 chapters. And I'm like, I don't care. It's not about how many chapters.
Because you're a nurturing and encouraging father.
I get there, don't but I bother just me. Rip them in half.
So is it 5 chapters?
I say, get back to your phone.
You say, is it 5 chapters of a book I've written? And they say no. And you say, well, I'm not interested then. Yeah.
Try reading 5 of my chapters in a day.
Yeah, come back then when you've done that.
Yeah, then talk to me.
Exactly.
No, I'm always trying to get it into their heads. Look, it doesn't matter how many chapters you've read or how long it took. It's what you got out of it. Did you enjoy it? Are you immersed?
Yeah.
And so my writing reflects that. You can't say 4-minute read because this is stuff for the ages. This is stuff you can come back to lovingly years, like flicking through your old classic rocks, like I know you do, in your rocking chair at home on a Sunday, you know, and you go, oh, I remember when Mick did this.
Yeah.
I'm going to read it again. And like a great
I'm
book,
gonna read it
you
again,
get more out of it the second and second, third time.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. More out of it, straight into the recycling bin. Save the planet, that's what I say.
So, I've forgotten what I was going to say now.
You talking about Stephen Wilson?
Yes. So he's going to be at the show, and thinking back...
And he's going to be telling truths about the music business.
He's going to be kicking ass and taking
names.
He is. No, exactly. But we were saying over the Christmas and New Year pods that we were going to give you 3 questions.
I'm getting 3 questions, so I've already prepared
my 3.
You've already
told me you've forgotten one.
I have forgot, but I've got 2 definites, so I'm still thinking about my third one. But what would be
remind me of the definites.
Well, the definites are when you do all those remixes, like when he remixed every single Jethro Tull album for re-release.
Don't forget Marillion.
By the time you get
Guns N' Roses as well, I think.
I don't know. You know who he did do? Suede. I was surprised to see that.
They pay their money's as good as anybody.
Well, exactly. Yes, yeah. So I said, especially with Suede, it's kind of sweet. No one's going to tell the difference on that, are they? You just turn it up, then turn it back down again. Put the sticker on. Remix by Stephen Wilson. Brackets King of Prog.
All right.
Yeah. That's one of them.
You're going to put it to him in that way.
Yeah, there was one which was inspired by Fish, the previous King of Prog. Fush. Now probably he's like King Emeritus. He's like the king who's abdicated, but
who Fish?
Yeah, because he's no longer because he's going to retire, and he's retiring to go and live on a croft, on an island in the middle of the sea.
That's right.
So my next question to Stephen Wilson is: would you ever live on a croft?
Yeah.
So that 2 of my questions.
I'm going to hazard a guess at the answers.
But well, no, I think he'll have an interesting response
because he's
the kind of person who would think about, well, you know, when I've finished finally remixing every Suede album that exists, what am I going to do with my life, you know?
I know, I'll go and live on a croft.
Well, I'll do something completely different to music. I'm going to do something, that was a huge part of my life, but now I'm going to do...
A croft.
X, Y, Z, whatever, you know, I'm going to weave herringbone fish jumpers, I don't know, fisherman's jumpers.
Hang on.
Whatever. Whatever
he's going
do,
to
what
live
do you do
on a croft,
croft
and weave herringbone fish jumpers.
I'm not saying he's going to live on a croft. The fish is going to live on a croft. Oh. It would probably be quite coincidental if Stephen Wilson also decided to live on a croft.
It could be the croft in the next island.
I mean, yeah, if they end up living next door to each other, I mean, it's just a busman's holiday, isn't
they
it?
Could
you don't
do a,
do
they could
that.
Do like an album together and call it On the Croft.
Yeah.
The croft of a wave.
Crofters. Yeah.
Croft for a jester's tea.
Yeah. Oh, that would be good, wouldn't it?
Or script for a jester's croft.
Yeah, script for a jester's croft.
Misplaced croft.
Well, that was always Fishy's thing, wasn't it? He was going to go off and write scripts and novels and all the rest of it.
And
I'm sure he is. I'm sure he's that.
Working on it
on
as we
croft.
Speak.
That's why he's going to the croft. So my point is, anyway, Stephen Wilson will be, you know, probably have quite an interest. So, but even better than me having 3 questions is what we most want are readers' questions.
We
because I think they're going to be the best questions. They are, because you're making a stupid face as if, oh, only Mick Wall can come up with a brilliant question.
No.
That's why he's such a fantastic music writer. Da, da, da,
perfectionist.
Da, da.
I think perfectionist is the word people use about me.
I think they're going to... I think you... In fact, before we started this pod, you were bitterly complaining about an interview, which we shall not mention, that you've got to go and do tomorrow. And you said, oh, I've already interviewed him. What can I ask him that's different to last time? So that's my evidence for this.
Yeah.
So
okay, and here's
I
my
want,
evidence for
I
the face.
Want, I, and I'm telling you,
oh, he's you're jabbing a finger at okay, me.
Don't
you're
let,
jabbing a finger.
Don't let me down on this. Try. Email in the questions, and I guarantee they're going to be better questions than anything Mick Wall will come up with.
Okay,
so
can I now
email
explain
them
my
in.
Face?
Yeah,
because on the Francis Rossi tour, every night people got to put questions in a box.
Yes, yeah, that's Francis Rossi, Mick. That's what is there to. It's like even I would go. Jesus Christ, I can't think of anything to ask Francis. Not even would you go and live on a croft, hopefully. But you know, but Stephen Wilson, look at, you know, all the music
rocking
he's made,
all, over
all
the
of the bands he's done. He's not always interviewed in this setting where he can be a bit more light-hearted than talking about his latest opus or whatever. So I think it's going to be great. Ask him what you want. Ask him what he does on his days off.
I guarantee
know.
It will be a Stephen. On your solo album, The Raven That Lived on a Croft, do you feel that prog direction was more valid than that fucking rubbish you did later, which didn't sound like prog to me?
Yeah, but what if it is? So what, then let him answer that. That would be quite interesting. If someone says,
hang on,
if
that
someone
be
says
quite
to him,
interesting.
If someone says to him, your recent album was fucking rubbish, when are you going to get back to... The good old days.
Well, there's your fourth question.
Yeah, no, that's my
that's
third
your
question.
Fourth
I'm only
question.
Getting three questions, so I could. My fourth question is purely
that's
symbolic.
That's why I would filter. I wouldn't let that.
But
through.
Anyway, so readers' questions. I'm in favour of this, and I think we should have a load of them. So send them in. That'd be great.
Do you remember when we did Ginger, that gig?
Yeah, and we could have done with a few bloody questions.
I said
there.
To the audience,
because you just
does
kept
anybody
droning
have any questions?
On.
It was like, crickets.
You just yeah, because you were droning on like these
I
are going
to hang
on. These are going to be pre-submitted, so you
I
can,
was
right,
droning on.
You can start. It's like a proper. It's like when you go and do your interviews, right? When you interview someone, you would never just think of the questions on the way down there, would you? You would pre-prepare.
Yes, I fucking would.
You would pre-prepare
you
like you're doing
my
now.
Days. I've got like brown envelopes from the tap. Yeah. Literally found one the other day, and on the back it had written. Gay? Question mark.
Oh, that was when you
I was
did Henry Rollins.
I was interviewing Misha Paris, and I was just—it was meant to trigger me to say you have a large gay following.
Oh, right.
But 3 weeks later, all I've got on my desk is a torn envelope with the word "gay" and a question mark, which was
see,
in front of me.
Which
when
is
I was
precisely why I'm saying you've got until February the 20th. Let's set the deadline of February the 20th for readers' questions because that's the day before the gig. Mm-hmm. They will guaranteed be better than someone having gay question mark written on an envelope.
Well, that wouldn't be a question for Stephen, obviously.
No, I know.
Wow. What is it you've got about Stephen's sex life?
Oh, my God.
You need to shove down their throats, John.
Oh, my God. I've got to tell you, though, just going off the Stephen Wilson subject slightly, because I meant to say this to you.
Uh-oh.
And I didn't say it. Did you see at Christmas one of the, I mean, it was stupid, but an amusing show, the two brothers from Spandau Ballet, Martin and Gary Kemp,
no, I didn't see
did their spoof. They do these spoof. It's the second one they've done.
Oh,
and they've
with,
kind
with
of
the manager.
Yeah,
the manager
yeah.
saying you've got to get Spandau
yeah,
back.
Yeah,
and they're saying, can yeah. we get a video?
Yeah,
of
but
the...
They don't want to do it with the singer Tony Hadley because they've fallen out. But they've sort of created these alternative realities for them. But so they come up with this idea that what they're going to do is like. They're going to make a super group
yeah,
up
yeah.
of like McBusted did.
Yeah.
And the person they decide to make the super group with is Francis Rossi. And Francis Rossi comes in and they become...
the real Francis Rossi.
Yeah, they become Spandau Quo.
No.
They put on... He says, you've got to look... We've got to all look the same. So the Spandau guys put on the waistcoats and the jeans. And they do a status quo version of True. That was actually quite good. It's on the iPlayer. It's well worth checking out.
Oh,
it's very funny.
I saw a little
very
clip
funny.
On Twitter or something.
Yeah.
And they were talking about when Simply Red and Wet 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 got together and called it Simply Wet.
Yeah.
And then they and then he goes, there was one we don't talk about, which was Dire Straits and Chris Rea, which yeah. is diarrhea.
Yeah, you don't have to explain the joke.
I'm so sorry. But anyway, sorry.
Yeah, it was very good. And Francis Rossi, fair play to Francis Rossi. I do knock him every time we raise his name.
Well, I don't know why.
But he was very good in it. He was very good.
Was he wearing a toga?
No, no, he was wearing his proper stuff. And he actually did quite a good gag where he said, oh, you've got to have a ponytail to the... And he gets out a briefcase, he's got all these ponytails in there, and he starts giving them. You can have one of mine.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So it was very good. It was very funny, yeah.
Do you know, years ago, like we were talking about Man of War on the last episode, and it reminded me of those days of the Hammersmith Odeon, as it was then. Whenever a rock or metal band was on, we'd all pile down there. And do you remember the backstage bar where Marco...
Up the top of the stairs.
Up the top of the stairs. And the barman was Marco.
Yeah, that's right.
Who would do magic card tricks.
Yeah, card tricks, yeah.
To keep us amused while the bands were playing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, if you could get in. I mean, it was so small. It was like you could only fit about four people.
Well, a few more than four. Yeah.
No, it was small.
Somehow I always managed to get in there.
Yeah, yeah,
I think because
you started running the first song. The minute you saw Steve Harris wasn't looking at you, you started running up the stairs towards the bar.
No, I would have done that long before any band came on. Not Iron Maiden, I'd have been there for them. Solidarity. So one night I'm in that bar. This is about 87. And I don't know what the band was, but the usual suspects are there. You know, Neil Murray and Spike.
Fish.
Yeah, absolutely. All those people. Brian May, he was always there.
Yeah.
In his clogs, bless him. And I've got my back to the... I'm completely pissed. You know, I'm cavorting with somebody or other. Probably you and Crusher. But I get a tap on the shoulder. And I turn round, and it's the Kemp brothers.
Oh.
Gary and Martin. And I went, oh, Spandau. I love that record you did, Chant. Remember that one they did, Chant?
Oh, yeah, Chant.
Can't stand the pressure on.
I can't stand this pressure on. I can't stand this pressure on. That one, yeah.
Diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle.
That's a good one, yeah.
I love that record.
Yeah.
So I start going, I love that record. And they were kind of like, you could see the thing in, oh,
yeah. There's nothing like being... Having a drunken man telling you how much they like your record.
Your hit from 6 years ago. Anyway, they weren't drunk, but they said to me, they've been, I don't know if I've ever told you this, John, but back in those days in the late 80s.
You used to dress like Spandau Ballet.
I used to do a TV show called Monsters of Rock.
Monsters of Rock, that's right.
Very good.
You had to have a squareal, but it was good.
Unless you lived in Milton Keynes or Dublin, or 20 countries around Europe. So they're like, you're Mick Wall. I went, yeah, I know, you know. And they were like, we really want to come on your show. I went, fuck off. Fuck off. Yeah, fuck it. I'm taking a piss. And they went, no, we're serious. We love the show. We would love to come on. I went, what? You? Spandau? I said, listen, I love Chant.
So listen, lads.
But, you know, what else can we talk about?
Yeah. And little did you know that some 40 years later, whatever it is.
They'd have been great, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they would have been. They've been very funny. I mean, they, you know, they obviously have got a sense of humour about it all. So,
but I was very, very drunk. And all, my main memory is just going, I love Chant.
Yeah.
The pressure on. Come on, guys.
Pressure on.
All together. And then I think they just sort of went, just pushed me away, you know.
Yeah.
So that's my main memory. But, great guys. I love them.
Yeah. Well, in the show, in the fake show they did, there's a third Kemp brother.
Oh, really?
He's called Ross Kemp. And he's like the forgotten Kemp brother.
Is it the real Ross Kemp?
No. It's not. It's this guy. He's one of those really good actors who you recognise his face, you know. Yeah, he sort of plays this sort of, you know, the third neglected brother who's employed by Gary as his gardener. It's very funny. It's good.
I've got to watch it. It's on the iPlayer or whatever it is.
The Kemps. It's called The Kemps or something like that. You know, you'll find it. You put The Kemps.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you about a not quite as amazing as that, but just a funny little clip I saw on TV over Christmas as well. My eldest daughter, a lot of prompting from me, she works at Waterstones now.
Oh, yes, she said, yeah.
So
she's a bookseller. She's pushing out the Nick Hall product. She's a senior bookseller now. That hasn't taken her long. Blimey.
She's very smart.
Yeah.
Anyway, I noticed that Mick Herron, who came up with the Slow Horses
books, yeah, yeah.
There's about eight of them, and they were selling.
I wish I'd come up with that. I hate him.
Shut up.
Yeah.
So, well, we will, John.
Yeah, we will.
We have
yeah.
a brilliant idea, which I'll tell you about in a minute.
Yeah, okay.
It's called Fast Horses.
It's like slow horses. It's like all these detectives, but they're like the faster ones, not the slower ones.
That's right.
Yeah. Not detectives, spies. They're spies,
aren't
they?
Spies, yeah. Yeah, but yeah. The difference is they're fast.
Yeah. Well, we've got the fast horses. You're doing the show about the slow ones.
No. I'm watching the show. So I'm reading. So I said to, because every year, what do you want for Christmas? Honest answer, nothing.
Yeah.
I just would love to there be left to be alone. No Christmas.
To be left alone.
To be left the fuck alone.
Yeah, yeah.
As James Hetfield memorably sang on stage, not on the record, what was that track called? It was off Master of Puppets. And the lyric in the record goes, just leave me alone. Leper Messiah.
No, oh, okay. Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. I mean.
And then live he'd go, leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah.
And I'd go, yeah.
Yeah,
James. Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
Why am I telling you? Oh, yeah, so I said, look, if you guys want to club together and, you know, disingenuous, you know, use your discount, you know.
Yeah.
She got them for me. Bless her heart. Bless her heart.
Yeah.
And the first one is called Slow Horses.
Yeah.
So I started reading it, and it's on Apple TV, and I don't have Apple TV.
Right.
And I'm like, I want to read the books anyway. You
know? Yeah.
Because that's where the good stuff is.
Yeah.
But then I couldn't help myself. I just, because I'm reading the books.
You've got to see the TV.
Plus, all the reviews say it's just it's great. The most amazing.
Yeah.
So I did. Next thing, I've got Apple TV.
Yeah.
And I'm watching Slow Horses. And I got to say, it is as great as they say.
Right, right.
Do you know the concept of
Slow Horses? I vaguely know that it's about the sort of spies in MI5 and MI6. Or
MI5.
It's MI5, so the domestic spies.
Well, they're all the spies that are fucked up.
Yeah, let's just say the ones who've buggered it up, so they're sort of put out to grass in this building.
In a place called Slough House.
Yeah.
It's not in Slough, it's literally a couple of miles down the road from the MI5 HQ, which is called The Park, because it's these days it's in Regent's Park.
Yeah.
It used to be on Cambridge Circus.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And you'd call it The Circus.
Yeah.
Well, now it's The Park.
Yeah.
This place is literally a couple of miles down the road. But the reason they call it Slough House is because it's about as far away from the action as it's Slough.
Yeah.
And it's full of, as you might imagine, wonderful characters, including the boss, Jackson Lamb, who's played by Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
And the very first time you see him, he wakes himself up. He's passed out on the couch. And he wakes himself up by doing this huge fart.
See, I can see why you associate yourself very much with him.
That's how you
began watching the Slow Horses show. You awakened yourself with a huge fart. And it was on Apple TV.
Yes, indeed.
Had your reverberation put Apple TV on.
The duvet levitated.
Yeah, and it just hit the Apple TV button.
Yeah, that's right.
In fact, when your Alexa hears a loud farting sound, it immediately plays Slow Horses.
That's right. So there's lots of different characters, but there's one character in particular, and he's like their tech nerd.
Right.
And the actor in real life is Stephen Chung, I think. But in the Chinese. So in the Chinese, British, he's probably about as Chinese as I am Irish. He's completely London, but that's his background. And he is the tech master, the internet nerd king. And he's
you know why they have those? because they always bail you out of a plot.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Quick, do the doodah.
Do the thing that no one else understands. And yeah.
But he's always drinking. What's that? The drink you have to keep you going. The thin
Red Bull.
Yeah, he's always drinking Red Bulls, and he's always got a slice of pizza on the keyboard, and he's really
again. I really am seeing why you associate yourself with this show.
No, but he's so nerdy. They all hate him. He's like so nerdy. He's obnoxious. Like one of the women agents. A fellow agent gets killed by the Russians, but it was her boyfriend, and she's can imagine, and he's trying to get off with her, and he's like too soon, and she's like fuck off Ho. His name's Roddy Ho in the program. She's like fuck off Ho, and he went nah, you mistake it. It's just I can't bear to see fruit rotting on the tree.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like looking at him like, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
If he's bored, he'll do something to the signs on the M25. It's just kind of zombie attack. But he's also insanely brilliant at this stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's finally in the third season, there's an episode where he's put in the field. Mm.
See, we're now seeing why you didn't hit those deadlines. The third season.
You've only just started watching it. No, I've seen the lot, mate. Now I forced Linda to watch it with me now, so I can watch it again.
Oh, right.
And he's in the field, but really what it is Jackson Lamb, who's too pissed to drive, has told him to drive. So they go out to his car. It's the first time you ever see Ho outside the building.
Yeah.
He's got, like, yellow sneakers and, you know... And he's obviously a young, he's in his 20s or something. I don't know what he is. But they go out to the car, and it's a real boy racer car. And Jackson Lamb is like, I am fucking joking. And as soon as he turns the ignition on, all the lights start going in sync. And he's got one of those big fins on the back, even though it's just a regular car. And he's trying to do the gears. And Jackson Lamb's going, can you fucking drive? And he goes... My lady needs encouragement. Yeah. He's one of those. Calls his car my lady. Yeah. So anyway, they drive off to the place. It's in the at night in the countryside. Of course, Jackson Lamb doesn't want him anywhere near it. Wait here. Do nothing. So he sat there around the corner waiting. And he's got the music on fucking loud. And all the lights in the car are going in sync with the music. And he's got the windows down and he's singing along. What is he singing?
Oh,
Alexander the Great.
Oh, no, really?
All you can hear is...
Wow. Yeah.
And it goes on and on. I'm thinking, is that Iron Maiden? Yeah. And then he's in the car.
Well, you would have known instantly.
And but Alexander the Great.
Yeah, I know.
And he's sitting there going, Alexander the Great. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And then the bad guys drive past him and he sort of notices... But he doesn't turn the music down. Anyway, that was
that's very good
for me. That was marvellous.
Yeah,
I think that's marvelous. A reason just to watch Slow Horses.
It is. It sounds like it is. Well, probably in future episodes he'll go back to his Iron Maiden.
Well, he's definitely a Maiden. I mean, Alexander the Great.
Exactly. They're telling you by the fact they're using that song, not using Run to the Hills or whatever their other ones are.
It's very astute.
Yeah, very good.
Right, so.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, you were going to tell us about something exciting group Rush.
Yeah, because for some unknown reason, ever since we did our live show, where I spoke briefly about Rush.
Briefly?
And was roundly turned
people
upon.
People were fleeing for the exit. We had to literally bolt the exit doors to stop people walking out.
I was turned upon by the audience.
I think the head of the Rush fan club was there. He was your one supporter.
He was my ally. And we were talking
everybody
about...
Everybody else was like...
And
know.
All I said was, I got Geddy Lee's audiobook.
And then
because I wanted to be able
to
sleep at night. No, I didn't say anything about it.
You never shut up about it.
Imagine my surprise when, very much like yourself, at Christmas, I took out a new television subscription. You know, you want to find a channel that's got stuff on...
That you want to watch.
You haven't seen 100 times or whatever, you know. So I picked Paramount. Anyway, irrelevant, but... When I start, you know, you get that first rush, that head rush. All the new programs come up on the screen. You go, oh, God, I don't know what to choose.
Does Paramount have a lot of new programs?
It's got a few things. The thing is, I mean, new is a relative concept, isn't it?
It is on Paramount.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's like stuff that was once on Sky Atlantic.
Hey, it's Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
But I don't pay for Sky Atlantic. So they've got all the shows that were on Sky Atlantic that I now don't have to pay for, you know. So I like looking at all of those, and then it comes up new. You know, they're commissioning their own programs now. So who? I mean, if you were commissioning programs, who's the first person you'd think of? I mean, obviously it's Geddy Lee, isn't it?
Fuck off!
Well-known maker of TV shows,
well-known borer of people.
Yeah. So they've got
well-known Robert Plant tribute.
They've commissioned four programs from Geddy Lee, which are called something like, and I'm busking it a bit here, they're called something like My Favourite Bass Player or something like
that. Fucking hell.
And Geddy
I wish
Lee,
I'd been in the meeting right, where they commissioned
Well, you can imagine, like, Geddy Lee, the pitch to Geddy Lee was, each episode, which is about an hour bloody long, do you want to go off and hang out with another bass player and we'll film it? So... Now let me tell you...
Is it like a multi-camera shoot to capture all the exciting angles?
Yeah, exactly.
Angles?
Now let me tell you who the people he goes to see are.
As if you
can't wait to fire up your Paramount subscription.
Well, the first one's got to be good because that means you'll watch the others.
It is, yeah. So the first one is Les Claypool from Primus.
Fucking
But, mate, I couldn't believe it. So I start watching it, obviously, because I'm so conditioned to just pressing the button.
I
just thought this is material. You know, I'll watch this. I'll be able to claim it back as tax. Claim it back on tax. And so I start watching it, and Geddy goes off to Les Claypool's got a bloody ranch. Whoever knew that Primus is... He's got a ranch.
I used to like Primus.
He's got his own...
25 years ago.
He's got his own line of beer or some sort of spirit. He's got his own pub, right, where you drink the... it's wine. It's this range of Les Claypool wine. And then they go off just down the road. He's got his own bloody bass-making place where these two maniacs make him these bass guitars. And they go in there.
Just for him or to sell to anybody?
How many people buy bass guitars? I don't know.
Well, quite a lot, I should imagine.
Well, yeah, but I imagine these costs, like, these are like Les Claypool basses. So you've got to be able to.
Handmade.
You've got to be able to play like. You know, so him and Geddy each pick up a brand new bass. Oh, I liked it when you did.
Wait, then, did you do that with a pick?
Yeah,
or did you.
Exactly. It's all, yeah. And then it turns
hey,
out.
Hey, it's fretless.
Then it turns out Les Claypool's last tour, Primus, went out playing entire Rush albums. Why? Like, why?
And people bought tickets?
Oh, presumably, because he's got a ranch. So the first one's Les Claypool. The second one is Melissa Auf du Maur. Do you remember
from
her?
Some grunge band?
She was like...
L7?
She was a sort of jobbing...
Hole?
Exactly. She was a jobbing bass player, and then the whole bass player died
of heroin.
Yeah, very close, I think, to Kurt Cobain dying as well.
Of shotgun.
Yeah, and she gets the gig in Hole. So essentially goes from, you know, being in a local band to being in
Hole,
which is that everyone's going to see because Kurt Cobain's just died and all the rest of it. And then...
And Courtney's got no knickers on.
Yeah, yeah. That wasn't why people... It wasn't why...
No, God, no way. Courtney is not like your type of gal.
No.
You know, that sort of blonde, all hanging out, looks like she's on Rohypnol.
I can't believe you just said that.
That was just a joke, yeah, yeah. Johnny.
So, but then, after Hole, you think, oh, well, that'll be that. No. She goes and gets the gig in The Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, yeah.
And she's the bass player in The Smashing Pumpkins through their sort of glory era.
Because before that was a bloke, Ito?
James Ito.
That's it, yeah.
Well, anyway, it then becomes Melissa Altima. So she's obviously done incredibly. And actually, she's quite an interesting person. She's gone back with her husband and created this whole art scene and centre and what have you. So Geddy doesn't
meet
with her.
In Seattle?
No, it's not. No, it wasn't in. She doesn't come from Seattle. It comes from like maybe somewhere upstate New York, somewhere like that. So nice place, you know. They're driving round it and it's full in upstate New York. You know how lovely that is. Okay, yeah, that's right. But then the third one.
I can't wait.
Third one. He's actually a friend of yours. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not Steve Harris.
I have many friends.
It's not Steve Harris, before you get too excited. Imagine, Geddy arrives in Essex to the mansion where the Eddie head comes out by the gates. That's right. Yeah.
What, Geddy?
Yeah, you're right. We're having a game of football, Geddy. Come on.
And then afterwards,
we need someone in goal.
Grab that bass, Geddy. Follow me. This
one's called Alexander the Great.
And here's my mate Roddy Ho to sing it.
Alexander the Great. So it's not that.
Oh, it's not that. Okay.
It's your friend and not mine, Mr. Robert Trujillo.
How is he my friend?
Because he's in Metallica.
Oh, we're all very close.
Yeah. Were you friends with Cliff Burton?
Yes.
Were you friends with Jason Newsted?
I wouldn't say friends.
But you knew him?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Robert Trujillo. He's now been in Metallica for as long as those other two ever were.
Yeah, but I wouldn't
longer.
Say...
Longer.
I don't know if we're friends.
No, but I mean, you know him.
You know, I haven't heard from him ages.
No, I'm so surprised.
I didn't even get a Christmas card.
No.
What's that about?
But I started watching, I thought, actually, you know what? Robert Trujillo is far too jolly to be in Metallica. I mean, he's not in rehab.
No.
He's got a really nice family.
He's been
with his wife for a long time. They've got kids his lad is an aspiring bass player. And Geddy and Robert go to see his lad's band play. And they're like, you realise the difference in energy between being 20 and being however old Geddy and Robert are. You know?
Yeah. Geddy's got this
fantastic pad, you know, because the thing that Robert Trujillo is really into, like his real thing, apart from playing the bass, is surfing. So he's got this amazing place on the overlooking the surf.
Really, he's a surf dude.
Yeah, he's a surf, big surf dude. Wow. So he goes surfing, but Geddy just watches him. Because he's a proper surfer. I mean, he's out there in these massive waves.
Well, if you went to visit Rob and he said, come and see me on my surfboard, would you just hop on one?
No, absolutely not.
Hey, mate, look for me.
I'll just sit up in the house up here. Kick back, but Geddy goes and watches him do his surfing. But then comes the sort of high.
Is he playing
point.
The bass as he's
no,
surfing?
No, no, no.
See, that would be good.
Because when
be
he
cool.
comes off, because when he's surfing, he's thinking about all the different bass bits he's going to play.
Oh.
And they actually cut in to the documentary that bit. You remember in the film, the famous film, Some Kind of Monster, where he joins the band. Lars goes, hey, to show you, you know, that we really mean, we want you to join, we're going to give you $1 million. You know, you remember that bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember Kirk sitting there with a big Cheshire cat smile, like nodding, going, that's
And you remember James sitting there going, it's recuperable.
Did he really say
no,
that?
No, I'm making it up. Oh. It's just for the humour.
So believable.
It was.
You kind of change into James in front of my eyes.
Yeah. So they show you that bit, and it's like he all goes on about how his whole life, you know, changed or what have you. But he, along with Geddy, who's obviously obsessed with bass guitars. So is Robert Trujillo, to the point where he produced a film about the ultimate of all bass players, Jaco Pastorius.
Jaco, now you're talking.
Who's sort of like the Jimi Hendrix of the bass, you know. And I think it's fair
and
to say.
Died for similar reasons.
Yeah, and Jaco Pastorius always, I didn't know this, but always played this one particular bass guitar that became known as Jaco's bass. And it went missing for years. No one knew where it was. And then it was found. And Robert Trujillo, bless his heart, bought it and gave it back to Jaco Pastorius'
really?
Family. Yeah, yeah. And because obviously it's a very, very valuable
right,
instrument.
Right.
But obviously, for the purposes of filming the documentary, it was at Robert Trujillo's house at the time. So him and Geddy have a go on Jaco's
bass.
Yeah, so that was good. It was good. So having said...
Can I just say, I think they got some cheek having a go on Jaco's
Yeah,
bass.
Well, I mean, in fairness to Geddy, I think he was a bit like, oh, I don't know if I can... Because if you're a bass player, that's a bit like saying, well, this is the guitar Jimi Hendrix did all along the Watchtower.
But Rob's like, give it here. He's got
Rob's
big
like,
head.
Yeah, Rob's like... But he plays a bit of Jaco. You know, he's like, because... Jaco's bass has got no frets on it.
Of course not. Jaco doesn't need frets. I'm amazed there's even
show
four
you a bit
strings.
A bit of Jaco and he's like, he's... he's out there, man.
Hey, yeah. He was the weather in Weather Report.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So they all love... So that, and then the fourth episode, I haven't seen it. I don't know who it is.
Well, we...
I thought they're never going to top that, are they? They're never going to top that one.
I wonder who the fourth one could be.
I don't know.
You know,
do you want me
the,
to report
of
back?
All the great bass players out there
on the next pod? Do you want me to report back?
Oh, very much so.
Who
Please
the
don't
fourth,
forget to do that.
Who is the fourth horseman of the apocalypse of the bass of the, apocalypse?
Yeah. Who is the fourth bass man?
Yeah.
The four bass men of the apocalypse of the rock apocalypse.
Yeah. The rockopolis.
The rock apocalypse.
Yeah. Yeah.
The four bass men of the rock apocalypse.
Yeah.
The Rockapopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopop he does.
Of course he does. He does all the instruments. He's like Mike Oldfield.
Well, I think the original bassist now lives in Australia.
Maybe that's like my final question for Stephen Wilson. Is there an instrument that you can't play?
Well, there won't be, will there?
Probably not.
And that's when you go, and he goes, no, I can pretty much play everything. And that's when you pull out a flugel horn.
Yeah.
And you go, go on then, have a go on that, mate.
Or zither.
Or we wheel on a harp.
Yeah. And then he just plays and then the ring, ring. It's like the chorus of angels.
Yeah, but can you play triangle?
Yeah.
Ding,
ding. Yeah, well, I'll tell him about the time I played tambourine on the Marillion album.
Wow, and that would be sensational.
And it had to be altered in Pro Tools.
There's your four-part series.
There you go.
Great tambourines.
Tambourinists.
You could call it Shake.
Yeah, Shake, Rattle and Roll. Yeah. There you go.
There you go, mate.
Ba-dum.
There you go.
Shake, Rattle and Rock and Roll.
Ooh.
That's what it's called.
Oh, is it?
Because you think about like, most cool people play the tambourine because it's always the singer. Yeah, because the singer gets out of tambourine.
That's right, yeah. Because he's got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Those are the singers that don't know how to dance or throw shapes.
Yeah.
Like the bloke in, what are they called? Primal Scream.
Primal Scream?
Get your rugs off. Primal Scream?
It's because I've been talking about Primus.
Wow, Granddad.
I was going, who the...
You had Primus, Primal
Confusion. I had Primus
confusion.
On the mind, yeah. It's like, how did that guy from Primus get so much money? That's all
he
that's been on
the
my
tambourine.
It's all
on,
that's been on my mind. Yeah.
Now,
that's it. That must be it.
Well, no. I'm going to outbore you here because, and I think you're going to find this actually fascinating. No one else will, but you will. Turns out that at the end of 2023, recently, Mike Portnoy of Dream Theatre and the Winery Dogs.
See, he's the sort of guy who'd be on the Geddy Lee show.
There you go, except he's a drummer, isn't he?
Is he? Okay. I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
John doesn't know that Mike Portnoy's a drummer. Wow. So anyway, I'm going to tell you who the guys in the band are in a minute because it's quite funny. They were guests who performed with YYNOT. The fuck's YYNOT? Must be some sort of prog.
Don't you know?
Oh, YYNOT says here, are considered one of the premier Rush tribute bands.
Oh, probably named after YYZ, the Rush.
But cleverly, NOT, so not. Yeah. Get it? Get it? They did a charity concert. Oh, it was at this is very recently. It was at the Bubba Bash 2024.
Yeah.
A charity concert in celebration of Rush's late drummer, Neil Peart.
Peart.
On the fourth anniversary of his passing.
See, now he was a proper drummer.
I know, but why are you celebrating his death?
No, you're not. So that's disingenuous of you. They're marking.
I'm not remotely
they're
disingenuous.
Marking the occasion.
Oh, it was held on Saturday, January the 6th, just recently, John.
2 days ago, days ago.
Well, as we record.
Without giving away when we record this podcast.
Because obviously people think we're live. And it was at the Keswick Theatre in Glenside, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay, yeah.
With all proceeds going to benefit Cedars Sinai Hospital in memory of Neil, which is
Neil
nice.
Neil Peart, very nice, yeah.
But let me tell you the all-star bill.
Okay.
Mike Portnoy, not on bass, but on drums. Frank Bello from Anthrax.
Oh, from Anthrax.
Wasn't he a bass player?
Yeah, I'm sure he was, something like that.
Jason Bittner from Shadows Fall.
Is Frank Bello the guy who became a watchmaker?
I don't know that.
One of Anthrax has become, like, one... I'm not exaggerating, has become one of the leading watchmakers in the world.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good timekeeper, then.
Well, presumably he was either a bass player or a drummer.
Okay.
Frank Bello, yeah.
Yeah. Jason Bittner of Shadows Fall.
Shadows Fall, yeah.
John Dinklage of the Clockwork Angels String Ensemble.
Okay, well, there you go, because Clockwork Angels was the last Rush album.
The party just never starts.
Yeah.
Joe Bergamini, who is a drum instructor and author.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. John Wesley.
But why did they need him if they had Mike Portnoy?
But he's also an author, you see.
Okay. John, he was writing it down. He wrote this.
He did.
You're reading out. Yeah.
He did. John Wesley says Porcupine Tree. Maybe that was an
early
incarnation. Yeah.
Maybe if you would just say that they were in Porcupine Tree.
Yeah.
I might start,
no one knows. Do they?
I might start saying it. After. I'll tell you what, after we've done the show, I'm going to say I've gigged with Stephen Wilson when people ask me. I say, yeah, I used to gig with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I did
so
a
what,
gig.
So, I'm not going to say I did a gig. I'm going to say I gigged with him.
Gigged, yeah.
What did you play? And I just go,
tambourine.
I filled in behind Stephen, you know.
On tambourine.
Well, whatever. I mean, whatever he needed. If he needed a bit of keyboard, I was there. If he needed backing vocals, I was there.
Wait, we're getting to the good bit. So John Wesley from Porcupine Tree, Seven Antonopoulos from Opiate for the Masses.
Yeah.
They were all guests who performed with YYNOT.
Yeah.
How did we miss it?
Well,
did you? You were there, weren't you?
No, first I've heard of it, but they should have at least live streamed it or something.
Well, maybe they still will, John.
If you're a fan of the drums, I would imagine it was a day out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A fan of authors. Yeah. He was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a fan of Porcupine Tree.
There you
go. But if you are a fan of Porcupine Tree,
come to the show.
Come
nicely done.
Yeah,
this is a
thank
pro
you.
Working with pros. I love
Seamless.
It.
Seamless.
Yeah. Stephen Wilson is our special guest at the West Hampstead Arts Club on February the 21st.
And send in your questions, which, again, will prove to be better than having gay question mark written on an envelope.
Almost certainly, although I wouldn't guarantee. Yeah. Now, you can send those questions to John's Twitter account, which is at the Old Batsman.
It is. Send them to me, send them to Mick, send them where you like.
Or send them to me.
Don't although don't, can I say don't send them to Stephen Wilson, because we don't want him to know before the gig what we're going to ask him.
Yeah, no spoilers.
So don't at Stephen Wilson.
No spoilers for Stephen.
No spoilers, yeah.
Or at Mick, what am I, Mick Blackwall?
Oh, I don't know.
I got banned, so I had to come back secretly. No one knows.
Yeah.
Mick Blackwall?
Something like
that. I think it's at Mick Blackwall. You'll find it. Yeah. Or Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah,
I'll give out John's personal number later.
I don't have any of those. So.
Yes, but I do.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, I do.
Fair enough.
Because I am, how should we put it? Can you hear Coco snoring? Yeah. I am a man of the world, you know.
Yeah.
The cyber world.
Yes. A slow horse.
And on that bombshell. Blimey, that was right on cue, wasn't it?
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
How do I stop this, Fern?